I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, this is how I love that Mike Bassick is always listening. This is a great point. Thank you for adding.
Did he hear what I said in the
break? He said Mantle is also short printed.
Ah, that's right.
Their Mantle was in the last series of 52, the fourth series of 52, I do believe. So he's always there to help us out.
It wasn't the man. It was the Nolan Ryan card that was the Venezuelan card. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. Kyle, who runs the Dallas Card Show, I believe has multiple of those, which are rarer than he says, even the Mantle.
Wow.
He loves Nolan Ryan. He has an amazing Nolan Ryan collection.
So I got a Nolan Ryan card.
Just don't be the person who's like, it's a rookie.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's from 1991 Donruss.
Yeah, it's a rookie. No, it's a rookie card. He's in a tuxedo.
That is not. That's from Stadium Club. That is not a rookie card.
All the rookies wear tuxedos that year, I believe.
No!
For their cards.
No to all of that!
877-881-1053 if you've had a tuxedo on.
What? Who is listening to this show right now wearing a tuxedo?
I didn't say have one, had one as
well. Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you've ever worn a tuxedo, text into the show and just text in tux.
Okay.
Not T-U-C-K-S. That's not how you would spell it. It would be
medicated
T-U-X.
Pad.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys want to start with the Cowboys, the Rangers, or did I jinx the Wings?
Obviously the Wings now. Did you jinx the Wings?
I think it's possible.
Oh, no.
Because, well, their game did not go super well yesterday. Now, it's partially because they fell off rebounding. They couldn't hit a three-pointer to save their life, where the defense remains a little bit disappointing. Maybe, For the first time in her WNBA career, Paige Bueckers didn't score double digits, and I was there. At the game.
Dude. She has had this amazing streak going.
It's possible that I messed that up.
Did she see you? And she was
She did. I was... Thank you very much to the Dallas Wings. I was sitting very, very close.
She saw you, and she goes, that's the guy who co-hosts a show with the guy that asked me about my sweat. And then that's when she probably got a little shaken. Yeah, I can see that happening,
a little
dude.
Sweaty.
Yeah.
I get what you're...
Man,
I get what you're saying.
I totally understand. I'm sorry, dude. That's a bad cross to bear, you know?
Now, other people would argue because a third of their roster is injured, and that's really what took them down.
Oh, yeah. That
and
could be
so,
it. That
you
could
know, be it. It's been a struggle season. They're not going to make the playoffs. But I will tell you,
draft pick.
That place was packed. I had a lot of fun, and we got to run into former 105.3 The Fan employee, Shonda.
Shonda!
Sean Heath.
She
he
is.
Didn't work at the fan.
Shonda, I believe, he's worked for Peace-A-Thon.
And that so is true.
Yeah. Shonda is, she was a, back whenever we first started here at the station, we had something called fangirls.
Mm.
It's a little different than fanboys, you know, but fangirls, the fantasy girls, that's what it was.
Yes.
And they all wore referee outfits, all right?
Yes.
And they were awesome. It was really fun to work with a lot of them because they were really, really cool. Shonda is the arena MC for everything you ever see.
Pretty much. The Cowboys, the Wings.
Didn't she do something for the Rangers too at
yes.
one point?
Yes. So if there's an event happening, there's a good chance that Shonda is the MC.
And yes. And if you say, hey, what do you think about the KNC Masterpiece? She's going to say, I love those guys. Because she does.
It's true.
I believe.
She sought me out there. That was very nice.
Look at that.
All right. Now, let's talk about the Cowboys. Go ahead and give me cut number two, because this was a nice play, but a complex situation for this player.
1 yard line. Second down, snap to Milton. Handoff Blue. Coming left, through an arm tackle and diving into the end zone. Yes, he can run between the tackles. Touchdown Blue.
Now, Jane Blue with the touchdown right there, but also runs into an ankle injury on a day when obviously, you were hoping we would see a ton of him, What is the concern level? Not necessarily about like, oh, the season's over, but this is somebody we wanted to see a lot more of.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like there's going to be a delay in that again.
And yeah, and wasn't it ankle injury prior that was holding him back? And he was like, no, I have no restrictions with this ankle. And now he had an ankle injury. So I think he's got great burst. I think he's got, he understands how he fits into this offense, and I want to be able to see more of him. But a couple of weeks, Kevin, I think he'll be ready. I think he'll be ready for things to start off. He's on this team. Like, there's no doubt about that. But where he fits in the hierarchy, Javonte Williams feels like the starter, and then you're going to try to find ways to get Jaden Blue onto the field.
Okay.
And so I think you still limited touches. But the touches that he has, I still think are going to be effective. I don't think you're going to see a lot of 1.2-yard runs for him, you know, behind the offensive line. I think you're going to find ways to get him in space.
Now, I certainly understand how Joe Milton would be one of the answers to this. But, gentlemen, any other storylines or players that stood out for you in Friday night's game? By the way, Friday night's win, if you're keeping track.
When was the last time that really mattered to you? The amount of wins.
As a kid.
Okay.
Like, I really, you know, we go back, we talked a good deal about the documentary last week for the Cowboys on Netflix. I believe either the 89 Cowboys went undefeated or they were like 3-1 or something in the preseason. And I was like, hell yeah, you don't even know what's up. And I think they made reference to that, and then you saw how the season went, and it was like, oh, maybe the cause and effect is not really, except for with the Ravens. The Ravens seem to always take the preseason very seriously, and then they're usually really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I get that.
I think the guy that, you know, while you were out, we were asking about him, and everybody kept saying, you know, they're like, what? Why are we talking more about this guy?
Right.
I think he showed that he belongs on this roster, Kevin, and that is one James Houston.
Yes.
Over the weekend, he immediately made the impact you were looking for. And I think you'd be a fool not to keep him on this roster because he's going to. Now, I understand you're deep at that spot. Even Schottenheimer said he feels like they're deep in that area. But I think that's the guy like that you really you've been kind of hoping could make this team. And I think he solidified it on Friday night.
Alec, if you have anybody else you would like to add, I would love to hear it.
I think James Houston was the number one for me because the numbers game is going to get tricky there. So I'm intrigued to see how it works out. But I do think the more I see, the more I think about it, I do want Perrion Winfrey
there
on this roster.
There you go.
And I heard Bobby say this morning that he doesn't have him on his projected 53.
What?
And I think just because I don't, it might be more of an indictment on Mozzie than it is kind of praising Winfrey, even though I do think Winfrey can be a good player. I don't know if I trust Mozzie enough to say we can afford to let that guy go and get claimed by another team or sign with another team, what have you. I hope he can slip onto the practice squad. That would be pretty cool if they do decide to make that move. But I think I've seen enough flash of just consistency. Flash isn't even the best word to use there. I think he's just been decent enough to warrant having a spot on the 53 because you need help there.
This morning when I got up and went to the gym, Kevin, the Cowboys post-game show was playing before Sean and RJ. So it was like 5:30. And I heard Zach and Broadus discussing Perrion Winfrey, and they brought up David Irving. And they were like, hey, Zach said he kind of reminds me of David Irving a little bit. And my first thought was, it seems like he's more powerful than David Irving. And Broadus said, David Irving was slanky, if I could use that term.
Slanky?
Like he could knife through. Huh. Perrion Winfrey's going to push you over. And he started talking about the power there more, too. And so I like that hearing that discussion between the two of them because it helped kind of solidify some of the thoughts on him. I'm hopeful that he's on this team as well because, dude, I know Mozzie had, what, 3 tackles in this game. One of them, I think Isaiah Stanback said that he paid $20 for everybody not to block on that play. And I was like, yeah. But that happens, but Looks like if you're trying to get the best group of guys on the field, I feel like he's still at the top of the list. He's not on the top of the list. Mozzie, that is.
Now, a lot of people responded to the tuxedo thing, and here's two concerning things, because I thought this was from the same person. It was not.
All right.
From the 903, wore a tuxedo because I was the father of the bride. Marriage lasted 18 months. Never again. And here's the next one that until I saw the numbers, I thought surely that's from the same person. Surely not from the 469.
Don't call me
sure. I wore a tux to my daughter's wedding a few years ago. Too bad the dude was a D-head loser.
Oh, no.
Should I assume that that means they're no longer married?
Or no longer wearing a tuxedo.
That feels reasonable to think that's the case.
You feel like if you always wore the tuxedo you got married in, that you'd be more committed to your relationship because you're like, this is what I wore on the day. Every day I wear this.
Yes, I would. And you would know that she was committed to you because you're still wearing the exact same thing every single day and she's still there. All right, here's what I want to know from Fathers of the Bride. Then we're going to get to the Rangers and one more note before that. Did you think the wedding was going to succeed when you were there? Because we got two people straight away. It was like, I was the father of the bride. Not looking forward to it. Didn't work out. So I want to know, if you've been a father of the bride, did you have thoughts going into the wedding, positive or negative? Hopefully we get some more positive. And they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's great. They've got a bunch of kids and they're in love and blah, blah, blah. And that would be fantastic. And then I apologize to this person from the 469. I saw Kevin and said hi at the game, but he ignored me. But to be fair, he was busy talking to other people.
It tracks, though.
I'm sorry. As soon as I walked in there, a security guard named Dominique came up to me and he was like, are you by chance in radio? And I was like, I am in radio. He said he loved the show. We are huge in the WNBA community because the people in the row behind me tapped me on the shoulder and he said, do you mind taking a picture? And I was like, no problem. I thought he meant take a picture of him and his family.
Right.
But then he flipped the screen and like leaned into me and I was like, oh, you want to take a picture with me? Oh, okay, great. I thought I was just trying to help out. And so we did a picture and he goes, I'm really glad you're here. I want you guys to get into the WNBA. So that was nice.
When Adrian and I went to go see Jimmy We Eat World and Offspring at Dos Equis Pavilion on Friday night. And she goes, do you think you're going to get noticed tonight? And I was like, nah, this isn't my crowd. This isn't my audience. All night long, dude.
Oh.
I owe her like $40 because she wanted to make dollar bets about it. So I owe her money.
But it's all still in the same account.
Pretty much.
Maybe. Yep. All right. Go ahead and give me cut number 11 because we also need to talk about those Texas Rangers.
He throws that fastball, the splitter, and very occasionally a sweeper. Here's Jock Peterson, and he drives one deep into right. Jones going back. It's over his head. It bounces once and hits the wall. Here comes Seager. He scores. Jock Peterson with a walk-off double to right. And amazingly, the Rangers rally for a walk-off win here. The final 4-3.
Now, that would start a sweep for the Rangers. And I think in the last two games, they won like 15-0. Unbelievable.
Kind of cool sweeping the team in front of you for the wild card, though.
Absolutely. But this is why we can't have nice things.
Why? Merrill Kelly was great yesterday.
He was. And I have an amazing pitching statistic for you later in the show.
I dare you.
But find out Marcus Semien is going to go on the injured list for the first time in 8 years. Then we find out yesterday that he met with a foot specialist and it's looking as though a fractured third metatarsal bone and a Lanfranc sprain are going to have him out the next 4 to 6 weeks, aka the rest of the regular season. So now you're in a position where you have to continue to play super well, make a run at the playoffs without Marcus Semien.
But he'll be available for the playoffs.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is a possibility.
Sounds like. Yeah.
That is absolutely a possibility.
Guy who's always been such a nice guy in the league turns heel, huh?
True.
Because of foot injury.
And it's the first time in 8 years he's been on the injured list.
That is tough, man. But you're still going to have him around. This team is still fighting. You know, they're showing that they still have that fight in them. And that's all we can really ask, right? Like, you know, as Boats was talking about that on Friday with us and breaking Evan Carter news with us, you know, this is one of those things where you're just like, okay, if y'all can keep doing this, it's awesome. I'm excited. Hopefully it's not too late.
Yeah.
But I hope they can, man. I really do. And no matter how, I know I wave the white flag, Kevin, but that doesn't mean that I don't care about these guys.
Sure.
And that I don't still want them. I'd love them to prove me wrong, dude.
Absolutely. From the 2-4, I like how that one guy stiff-armed his family to get a picture with Kevin.
No, I don't know.
His family was in the picture. Actually, we all did the picture together.
If Kevin stiff-armed his family, too. No, he was like, leave those chumps out.
He really did mean with his family, and I was like, no. You're taking your picture with me. No. His family was in the picture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, one of the questions of the day, if I can steal from Alec, do you know what an actuary is? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan from the 254. My youngest daughter's first wedding, I was already calling the groom the village idiot to
his
face.
Oh my gosh, stop.
And he did say first wedding, so spoiler alert, it sounds like it didn't work out. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's going very well. Do you think you can guess the first thing I'm going to ask you about?
Go ahead.
He's like, there's too many stories rolling around. That's up there right now.
How do you feel now? Have you caught James Houston fever, and can he make this roster?
I think I counted defensive linemen like 8, and now it depends on what they need and who they think can get through waivers to be put on the practice squad.
Do you think everybody understands, and I want to make sure I phrase this question correctly, that it's not necessarily just the best 53. It is a balancing act of who we want on the roster versus we want these guys, we think we can float them through to practice squad as opposed to other players that we can't.
Yeah, I agree. And you guys were right to recognize what Houston did in the previous game and this one too. But part of playing defensive end is you got to be able to play the run.
Sure.
And there's only so many designated pass rushers you can have on the 53-man roster, right?
Yeah.
And so my thought on this is, did he just all of a sudden arrive? Or are we getting a good look at what he really is since that, you know, when they kind of signed him middle of training camp?
Yeah, yeah.
And what was he doing out there?
Nothing.
And how many guys were on rosters at that time, right?
Yeah, where he was.
So, yeah. So, maybe. I think he's at least got his name in the conversation. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it's a, you know, slam dunk. Yeah, he's one of the guys. And it comes down to also not just how many guys do I have at defensive end, and who do I have at defensive tackle? And do I need to go long at one spot as opposed to the other? So I think that he's at least one of the guys that you can probably release and sign to the practice squad. And remember, you get elevations, right?
Yeah.
So you can put a bunch of veteran guys on the practice squad that you think won't get picked up by another team, and then you can elevate the guys, and then if somebody comes and poaches them, they've got to put them on the 53-man roster for a guaranteed 3 games.
Okay, then, Mickey, now the question I think that everybody was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Maffa or Deuce Vaughn, who makes the team here?
Ooh, boy, that's a tough one.
Might be Deuce.
And I think that's, yeah, I think that, you know, he continues to show that there's something there. Now it's a question of how many running backs can you keep?
Yes.
You know you're going to keep three, right, for sure? And Lipke is the fourth. Now can you keep a fifth?
Right.
And I think that's where the Deuce discussion comes in. As opposed to what are you going to do at tight end?
Because you don't think they can keep five with some of the other positional, I don't know if like depth deficiencies is the right describer. Do you think they can keep five?
I think that depends on what you do at some of the other spots. And are you counting Lipke as a tight end slash running back slash fullback, right?
Yeah.
And they've used him quite – they haven't – and I'm trying to check myself here. They haven't used him as much in the preseason games as a one back in a nickel offense as they did in training camp. And I'm assuming that they didn't waste snaps in training camp just doing that, right? So I think they look at him also as a one back – in the offense. So that might have an effect on Maffa and Deuce, because I think those two guys are on the edge. And then the other thing with Miles Sanders, if you look at the contract they signed him to and when they signed him, he was signed as the veteran exception, where you get a limited signing bonus and then your salary, what you get as the base, does not count as much against the cap. So I don't know that he's automatically on the 53-man roster.
Agreed.
And he could be another one of those guys that you think, well, okay, he's a veteran. Maybe I can sneak him onto the practice squad. And then if I need him, I can elevate him. I think the week that he missed really hurt him. Now, he didn't play, right? So that's always an indication of one of two things, that, well, I don't want him to get hurt, or I don't want to expose him, and I need to look at these other guys to get a better evaluation of them in the final preseason game.
Now, whether it's because they got hurt or because they didn't want to expose them, is it right that I am kind of disappointed with how the Cowboys handled the preseason with their running backs? Because, like, Javonte Williams seems to be the number one back, but it's not like he's run for 1,000 yards in the last seven consecutive seasons, and so we didn't even put him out there, and then because of injuries, you didn't get to see a bunch of Blue, you didn't get to see a bunch of Maffa. It just feels like we didn't get to see a whole lot of the players that are, like, actually going to be the running backs for these teams.
But they got a lot. They got to see him a lot in practice and the Rams scrimmage.
Yep.
And he ran first team in practice all through training camp. And he ran pretty well. They didn't run the ball that well against the Rams in the scrimmage, but he would have been the best on that day. So they're basing that decision not only on that, but, as I always say, follow the money. You know, he got paid $3.5 million. And there was a $2 million guarantee on it, I believe. So he's your starting running back. And then, you know, this idea about committee, okay, so who's the next guy in this committee? Cause you pause, didn't
it? Yeah, I don't know, because I would have said Blue.
First thought's Blue immediately.
Yeah, and now he's dealing with that knee ankle deal, right? He didn't finish the game. Now, he looked good when he was in there.
Sure.
Now, is he a guy that let's – and they'll look at it this way. Williams gets hurt. Who's your guy? Who's going to go in there and take 20 snaps?
Yeah.
Joe Milton.
Oh, my God.
yeah, that's a good one. See, he skirted the real answer. Yeah,
because the answer is, I don't know.
Exactly. That's it, to be determined, right? Yeah. And I don't know that Blue's ready for 20 snaps. And then that's where the Miles Sanders things comes into play. But again, if you can sneak him on to the practice squad and then, you know, elevate as needed, then you might be able to keep somebody else that you might not have thought you could keep. And I think that's where, I mean, that's kind of getting around the question you asked me, but the Deuce thing and the Mafah thing.
So I that might be your answer right there. But whenever you said maybe you have the opportunity to get somebody on the roster that you didn't think, are those the one of those two guys who come to mind, or are there other players that you're like, you know what, maybe that person does find their way?
Well, I think it's on the, you know, on the you know, wide receiver. Are you keeping five? Are you keeping six? Now, this is not the way you wanted to work it out, but that Milton's going to go on IR makes it a little bit easier to get another guy to keep the rights right from the start, right? Can you keep six? But then I take you to tight end, and with Schoonmaker in concussion protocol, and they said it didn't seem that serious unless it's Schoonmaker, right? Then how many tight ends can I keep? Because Brevin Span Ford, you know, has not practiced in 3-4 weeks, right? Are you going to keep him? Or are you going to, you know, put him on IR? Or are you going to put him on the roster and then put him on IR and he's got to miss 4 weeks? Because Princeton Fant has kind of shown he's valuable, not only as a tight end, but also as a fullback. So those are the discussions. And sometimes it doesn't come down to, well, who played the best? It's where is my need just in case? And I think so those are the juggling acts, you know, they're going through right now. And then the other thing is some of these other guys, are they going to stay on NFI? Are they going to stay on PUP? And they got to miss those first four games. They solved the thing with Diggs.
Yep.
By taking him off of PUP. Okay, now he's going to be on the roster. Is he ready to play in the first game? And if he is, how many snaps? Because he hadn't been in pads in eight months or so.
Definitely don't want him, you know, re-injuring a soft tissue.
Exactly.
Because, you know.
So those are the other considerations. So do I need to go long at cornerback just because, you know, even if Diggs is there, how many snaps can he take on? And they really don't know that answer yet because he hasn't practiced in pads yet. So it's almost like you kind of got to see how much of a ramp up he might need. And then where's His Highness going to fit in?
Oh, is that Micah?
That's my new nickname.
Okay. All right.
Come on. Lay it on the table on the sideline. Are you kidding me?
It's clear he wasn't very comfortable. There must have been a pee underneath that.
Oh, my.
What a weird reference. So, I understood it, though.
So anyway, what's going to happen there, right?
Well, today's the day to get people paid, apparently, because Terry McLaurin just agreed to a deal, Mickey.
He did.
Yes.
Did they sign it?
Three years.
You know what?
It was just a handshake deal. It could go awry quickly.
Well, you know about handshake deals, right?
That's a great point. Okay, let me restate. Theoretically, they have a three.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your $96 million deal in place.
So what was his situation? Was he under contract looking for an extension or was...
Correct.
He was.
Yeah,
okay.
And he had the last year and he was hoping for an extension at about this number was what I heard, 32. And maybe the Commanders were thinking more like 27, 28 per year. I haven't seen the guaranteed
that's
money.
That's what you got to find out.
Maybe that's out there. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I just saw the... 3 years for $96 million, which would theoretically hit the annual value. But like we talk about, the guaranteed money's the thing.
And that's the only thing that counts,
for
right?
Sure.
And when we talk hangups, it's like, well, what is the guarantee? Doesn't matter what the total package is. You could put a lot of kind of periphery stuff in that contract, and it really doesn't count. The only thing that counts is the guarantee. So that's got to be a consideration. Is he on the 53, or is there some sort of list that they can put him on that doesn't count against the 53, and he doesn't get paid?
And just a quick clarification. I want to make sure I heard this right, or maybe I did not. Did you say that Joe Milton is going to go on the injured reserve?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
If I did.
I meant,
where were we talking about?
I thought you were breaking news.
I meant Mingo.
Oh, okay.
I might have got my M's mixed up there.
I was about to say, hold on. Do we need to go Mingo. Back to that?
Okay. No, then that's the other consideration. Do you keep two quarterbacks or you keep three?
Are you resigned to the fact that they're going to keep three?
I think they will.
Yeah.
And good for Milton. That was much better.
For
sure. Right?
He looked very
but are you
comfortable.
Do you think he can go in and do that, you know, at the drop of a hat without much practice, second game of the season?
Yeah.
I think that's the, you know, and I started looking to see quarterbacks that already have been released. Oh, my. No, it's like nobody.
Okay. So that was a bad oh, my.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
There's some names I do recognize, but they've really not done anything in the league, so you might as well stay the way you are, other than Minnesota signing Carson Wentz.
Right.
And he was out there, right? Anybody could have had him.
Yeah.
But you knew that was kind of in the back pocket if you needed him, and I don't know if the injury that the Eagles Eagles ended up trading for Sam Howell, right?
Yep.
And that created a spot in Minnesota. So, there's some adjustments being made. You know the other name I saw?
Who's
Jordan
that?
Phillips.
Oh. Oh wow.
I didn't realize he was still out there. He just signed again with Buffalo.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to go to training camp.
I mean...
Because he's been injured a lot in his career. He's like, I don't want to do that.
So anyway, because I was looking for like names at defensive tackle so far, and I didn't see any name show up other than him signing. And I don't think you want to do that again.
No, probably not. Well, thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
And, well, maybe we'll get some answers early.
Oh, hey.
Except you don't get them until, you know, officially till 3 o'clock.
Well, if you get secret answers, us know.
First phone call I'll make.
That's what I'm talking about.
I choose to believe that.
I do too.
Thank you very much, Mickey.
See you guys.
Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. Have either one of you seen guaranteed money on that? Because, like, I'm seeing 3 years up to $96 million. And again, I know that's exactly what, from what we hear, Terry McLaurin was looking for.
Yeah, I'm going to say all of it's guaranteed, Kevin, what I'm just going to assume.
I will be stunned.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No, I've not seen the full grouping yet.
All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's tough for baseball nuggets where the big dumper is now on top. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed the breaking news on the other side in the last segment, 3 years, up to $96 million for Terry McLaurin. Still waiting on seeing what that guarantee is. But up to $96 million will show you that it's not fully guaranteed. But I don't think we actually thought that was going to be the case, but good for him. It looks like, depending on the guaranteed money, he might have ended up with exactly what he wanted.
Yeah, Barnwell's asking, is it closer to Mike Evans and Cortland Sutton at $41 million guaranteed or DK Metcalf at $60 million?
Because if it's the former, then good for the Commanders for convincing him to get that done.
Okay, Tom Pelissero is saying a $30 million signing bonus per a source.
Okay. So the guaranteed money could still be a good bit higher than that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
But I was going to say, if he agreed for $30 million guaranteed, I'd be like, good for the Commander. Smart thinking right there. All right. So I better do this properly. I'm sorry, Alec. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for baseball and Terry McLaurin nuggets. Man, maybe that... Could that be baseball and like one other random thing, nuggets every single day? All right. So for the big dumper, he now has set the record for most home runs by a primary catcher in a season at 49. So good for Cal Raleigh. Here are the other things that await him. How many players do you think in history have hit 50 home runs? Not number of times it's happened, number of players.
8.
Okay.
Ken Griffey Jr. is one of them. Is that what you're doing next?
No, I do not need you to name all of them because unfortunately they're significantly more than
that. Oh, okay.
It would take a while. 32.
80. Ooh. All right.
Between 8
and 80. 8 times 4 is 32, so good job.
There you go. Corey was a fourth of the way there. I don't know.
I just did math.
So he, good job. He would be the 33rd player to get 50 home runs. The record for a switch hitter, which this feels very much in range, is Mickey Mantle in 1961 hit 54. Now, you mentioned Ken Griffey Jr. has reached 50 home runs. He had 56, I believe, in both 1997 and 1998.
Okay.
So Cal Raleigh is on pace for 61, which would break that record as well.
So it sounds like it's super easy to hit 50 home runs in Seattle. That's basically what I'm hearing here.
Ooh, you know what? That's a good point. Yep. Now, these might be the only two, so I don't know if that... You know what? That's an intriguing point. Now, Corey, I'm going to give you another shot. How many players have hit 60 or more home runs in a season?
Ooh, 8.
Can you name them?
Babe Ruth. Lou Gehrig.
Nope.
I mean, Honus Wagner. Nope. I'm going to say Mark McGwire.
Correct.
Is that one of them?
Yes.
I'm going to also say Barry Bonds. Do you still count him?
Yeah. Oh, well, MLB.com. MLB does, so.
Aaron Judge.
Yes.
Roger Maris.
Correct. One more.
Sammy Sosa.
That is correct. It's actually 6. So he would be the 7th player in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 60 home runs in a season. And of course, you remember, because we saw it in Globe Life Field, he's on pace for 61. The American League record is 62 by Aaron Judge.
Dude, isn't it wild? Like, Sammy Sosa did it 3 times.
He did.
McGwire did it how many times? 3?
Twice?
It's just nuts that those dudes were able to do that.
I think.
So cleanly.
Yeah. Especially with Sammy Sosa. I think everyone accepts like the way it went down. But with Sammy Sosa, the fact that he actually also got caught corking his bat, and he's like, nah, I swear, it was the first time, except as soon as I hit the ball and saw the bat fly, I knew to go run and get the bat as opposed to run to first base.
What's the most home runs Honus Wagner ever did?
I don't. It's probably like 8. Then people used to not really hit a lot of home runs.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to say 8 to 12.
Pick a number then.
8.
10.
Oh, it was right in the middle.
2 times he hit 10 home runs in a 21-year career.
Well, wasn't that the thing where like Babe Ruth hit as many home runs as like every player in Major League Baseball? I know it wasn't quite like that, but he hit more home runs than like every club,
you know,
I think.
We don't talk about this much, but one time Dak finishes 2nd in MVP voting.
We talk about that all the time.
In 1912, Honus Wagner finished 2nd in MVP voting, and he had 7 home runs.
It's so weird. Like, we need to go back.
He hit 324. He was a 328 career hitter. And that's why he didn't get first in MVP voting.
We need to go back and, like, Sammy Baugh led the league in passing with 812 yards 1 year or something. Like, wow, what an accomplishment.
Larry Doyle defeated him that year. He had 10 home runs.
God. Used to be
so dumb.
The game used to be so different.
The ball
All right.
flew less.
Couple more things for you. The Yankees, they were mad. They lost to the Red Sox on Saturday. That was their 8th straight defeat at the hands of the Red Sox. They said, this is unacceptable.
Mm.
And it was, at least for one day, because they came back yesterday. They beat the Red Sox 7-2, but the Yankees still have plenty of work to do themselves when you look at their postseason hopes. Let's go from that to Zach Wheeler.
So hold on.
Go ahead.
The... on the losing streak the Yankees are dealing with, or the direction things are going for them, do you think the Rangers can steal one from them, like steal that last spot in the wild card from them, or is it going to be Seattle? We need to, fingers crossed, hope they fall apart.
New York makes a whole lot of sense, but you know my stock answer has been, I'll believe it when I see it from the Mariners. So obviously I would say this is where you can look back and that Kansas City series really hurts, because that's the next team that you need to jump over.
Yep.
But I would still be inclined to say Seattle, though obviously New York has had plenty of its own struggles. And it's not like Boston has cleared everybody by that much either.
Yeah, it's so wild.
All right, a couple more things for you. President Trump has now demanded Roger Clemens be enshrined into the Hall of Fame right now. And look,
this seems like a waste of our time.
Yes. Okay. And maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. But I would say those two were not in the Hall of Fame, with Pete Rose being the other one, for very, very different reasons.
Like what?
I mean, one was steroid use and the first one was gambling.
So is he demanding Bonds be in too?
You know, that's an interesting point. I think I only saw Clemens. I don't know if that has to do with like players' political leanings as well. I really probably should look into that more, I guess. And then the Baseball Writers of America, for the first time since 1983, they're adding a new award. And you know, it's super weird. 1983 is when they added Manager of the Year. So before that, they were like,
83?
Yeah. Whoever. Who is the manager that? That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So in
Pete Rose never won it then, is what you're saying.
Oh, he was managing after that.
Oh, okay.
But not for that long. So 1983, they added Manager of the Year. Now they're going to add a new award for the best relief pitcher. You know how like there's been an ongoing discussion about should a relief pitcher win Cy Young? And I'm like, well, if all they had otherwise was the Rolaids Award, then yes, I do think they should win. Do you remember when that was like a huge deal? So now they're going to get their own proper award via the Baseball Writers.
That's awesome.
Of America.
And it won't be sponsored by Rolaids.
I can't promise that.
Okay.
I don't know what the business model is looking like for Rolaids nowadays, but if they still got that cash.
We should retroactively
go back and
award these things then.
You know what?
He won the Rolaids Award.
If you can magically take away titles and not, or Heisman trophies, and not name a new winner, and Auburn can just come up with seven new titles, and Texas A&M made up a Big 12 title for a game I watched them lose by like 40 points, then why the hell not? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Cowboys questions that matter after the final preseason game. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.